We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The hosts at WEEI rarely want them to speak.
You are a bunch of dumb MFers.
Nope. Shut up!
They put up with absurd requests for the past week.
Go to the Crack Shack, tell them Mutt sent you.
And now they've left the control room to get behind the mic.
You're marketing abrasiveness, and it's changing talk radio.
This is the WEEI Producers Show.
It is what it is.
With Tyler Devitt.
Mitch Billings. Trubisky, a 2018 Pro Bowler. Made I'm making your point, Christian.
Thank you, Tyler, friend of mine.
He's here for you.
So, but the ceiling, I do Kiss think, is...
John Anderson.
Did he soil himself? Yes, I did, but it wasn't on the date.
Oh, a poop tease!
Oh, it's not that.
John's, you got something, as I made love over the weekend.
And Chris Scheim.
You can catch all the ALCS. Did you see a quizzle on Twitter? God, I choked on my own
On WEEI.
This is the WEI Producer Show. We should actually change that open, because at the beginning it says the hosts don't want them to speak. That's actually management. Management
the
doesn't
hosts,
want us to
the
speak.
The hosts want us to speak.
Trying to silence me. Yeah, management only gets...
Send in the new voiceover. We'll get that done for next week.
We get the 1 hour a week, and we love it. So
the hosts also, wish they could take time off and let the producers speak more, actually, would be more accurate.
Can you also find a different clip of me, like, swallowing my tongue? It happens every week.
There's a nice variety of those.
There's one from this week, I believe.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It happens to the best of them. Chris Scheim, I'll start with you. Were you impressed by a 25-0 shutout win over the Falcons, or are you someone like Ben Volen who says, it wasn't impressive, it wasn't pretty, but it was a... quote unquote, nice win.
So here's the thing. I think from a defensive perspective, I have now been overly impressed for a couple weeks. I was one of these people that said this team isn't a playoff team. I thought this defense sneaky stunk before that Chargers game. I was like, oh, they might get shredded by the Chargers. There's a chance.
Yep.
But since then, they've been great. This defense is tremendous. Matt Judon is otherworldly good. And now I had an opportunity when I was watching that Atlanta game to really kind of focus my attention on Christian Barmore. And this guy, as a rookie, is awesome. He is eating up double teams and winning consistently, which just makes it easier for Matt Judon to go one-on-one with a left tackle or a tight end and blow by people. And that's why he has 10.5 sacks this season. And this defense is no joke. This defense is legit. And that is what I was most impressed with.
The Baltimore Ravens have to be like kicking themselves in the ass watching this guy who's going to finish with 14, 15, 16 sacks.
Yeah.
Christian Fourier was throwing that out there that he's going to get 16 sacks and win the defensive player of the year. We just, Ty Law laughed at him. Like,
Fourier,
it was so absurd
was
to make
floor.
That claim. And John, I mean, Matthew Judon is clearly putting himself in that defensive player of the year race for a defense who is clearly the strength of the team.
I mean, defensive player of the year, it's who gets the most sacks. That's basically the award
now. It might be him.
It doesn't really matter. Like, all of these awards, and, you know, we talked about it a lot going into the season with the chances that Mac Jones could win Rookie of the Year or Offensive Rookie of the Year. And as of now, after Ja'Marr Chase being on a bye week, he appears to just be a hair ahead. And it goes off of box score stats. That's what it is.
Yep.
For Offensive Rookie of the Year, if it's a quarterback, maybe it has a bit more to do with them making the playoffs than anything else. But like Christian Barmore, for example, he's going to have some issues, I think, with Micah Parsons ahead of him, and especially the Cowboys probably being a playoff team as well. But for Judon, the competition is J.C. Jackson, right?
Yeah.
So regardless, I don't think either of them would be kicking themselves if the other one won that award.
Who's been the most impressive player on defense? Because J.C. Jackson's definitely elevated his play with Stephon Gilmore being gone. Matthew Judon's been impressing everyone. You mentioned Christian Barmore. He's a rookie who's playing like a veteran. Devin McCourty's still not showing his age. Kyle Duggar stepping up. There's so many impressive pieces across the line here, Scheim. Or I would say across the secondary, too. The linebackers have been good to above average, but not the strength of that defense, but the secondary defensive line had been stellar.
I know on Twitter, Evan Lazar has been making the case that Juwan Bentley's playing great, and there's been a couple moments where Hightower has looked like classic Dante Hightower, especially against the run. That's the thing that these linebackers have, and this is one of the geniuses of the Bill Belichick, the GM moments, right? Is you look at this defense, and you're like, I don't know how they're doing it up the middle, like between the linebackers and the safeties. It's kind of this weird amorphous group of safeties where they're not necessarily free safeties or strong safeties. Some of them can kind of play in the box. Some of them can play in coverage.
The robber.
Like, you look at Duggar, you look at Adrian Phillips, like, those guys can play in the box. They can tackle and stop the run, but they can also cover a tight end. And, I mean, Duggar might be the hardest hitter pound for pound in football right now. And so what they've been able to do is that in those pass situations, they're able to limit it so that you don't have a bunch of slow linebackers on the field. You have these safeties who can cover and defend the run. But then in obvious run situations, you're allowing guys like Dante Hightower and Juwan Bentley to thrive. On that third and one, you see Hightower stutter and then blast through the hole and blow up Quadri Allison before he had even close to a chance to get a first down in that game. And so I've actually been quite impressed with how Belichick has crafted this defense and how it has made it. I think the front four is easily the most impressive part of this team to me. But overall, as a defense, the scheme has been tremendous.
We'll get to Mac Jones, who's getting probably more credit than he deserves, and that's another story that we'll get to later in the show. But do you think the defense is like kind of being underrated because Mac's stealing so much shine?
Well, it definitely has been underrated going into the season. And I think one thing going into this year, a aspect of Patriots teams that has been there for 20 years that everyone kind of ignored because Tom Brady left, is the fact that they get off to slow starts and they get better as the year goes on. And that's always been a thing.
Yep.
And to be fair, there were a lot of aspects of the Patriots teams that this team last year and this year that left with Tom Brady, basically. Them leading the league in turnover differential was always a given. It sort of is not anymore. It might be now that the defense is playing so well.
Yes.
But I think because of those aspects leaving the Patriots, people sort of assumed that like all of these aspects were going to be gone. And I think even though the defense got off to a slow start this year, nobody really had their mind wrapped around it building up to what it could be because of all those other aspects leaving the team.
One last question for you guys, and I'll answer while you guys think about this. Have the Patriots faced their toughest test as a defense in terms of the offenses? Because Dak Prescott, not on the schedule anymore. Tom Brady, not on the schedule anymore. You can make the case Justin Herbert, the Chargers, was one of their toughest tests. All you have left is Ryan Tannehill and the Titans and the Bills and Josh Allen. Do either of those guys put fear in you more so than a Dak, a Tom Brady, a Justin Herbert?
I think a Derrick Henry-less Titans doesn't scare me as much from an offensive perspective. I think the Bills are a legitimate team, like a legitimate offense that you have to overcome, though. Josh Allen is an MVP candidate. He's currently the front runner for the MVP this year. You played pretty well against Dak. I mean, overall, he also played well, right? Like, there were some moments, right? You got a turnover, but at the same time, he threw for 445 yards and 3 touchdowns. You don't want to let Dak Prescott do that. That's something you never want to happen. And so it's going to be good to see how they've adjusted from there, because I think the defense has gotten better since that game. And so it'll be interesting to see how they adjust for Josh Allen, because what they've been doing a lot, and it's this weird thing, because the analytics people or the scouts in general, the beat writers, seem to be arguing a lot if this team is playing a lot of man and a lot of zone coverage. And it's just like this. It's an amalgamation of the two. But Belichick's allowing all of his defensive players to play to their strengths. And I'm curious how that matches up against Josh Allen, who in spots has been bad this year, but in spots has also been really like MVP level good.
And if the Jacksonville Jaguars can hold Josh Allen to 6 points on the road, make him look like a pedestrian quarterback, this New England Patriots defense can do it as well. And I know a guy who thinks that they could do it is J.C. Jackson, who postgame was saying we have one of the top defenses in the league.
I don't want to brag too much, but I feel like we got one of the best defenses in the league right now. We got a good pass rush. We got some guys up front who's doing pretty good this season, and you know the secondary always been pretty good, and we starting to build that chemistry. Defense played outstanding. Like, I can't even describe, like, but we got to keep it up. It's going to get scary. It's going to be scary.
Now, I don't know if the Patriots have the best defense in the league, because I would think that there's probably two teams on their schedule, the Titans and Bills, like we mentioned. they probably have better defensive units. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is awesome, and Kevin Byard's so playing like one of the best safeties in the league this year.
They probably do, as far as the Titans go. Christian Fulton's been, even when their defense got off to that slow start this year. And again, maybe that's Vrabel adopting a Belichick philosophy. Their defense sucks at the beginning of the year. Then after a month, they're one of the best. They're one top 10 unit in the league. Christian Fulton, he's a corner. He was a first-round pick last year or the year before. Sort of was one of their best players throughout that, even throughout that run. So against the Falcons, the Patriots had a 58% pressure rate. Does that sound right, Chad? It was like enormously high. The only thing that I came away from that game not super impressed with was that the third down, I think they were 4 of 13, 4 of 11, something like that. The Patriots were on offense. So I think that's the only reason that game wasn't more, that people weren't as impressed.
The Patriots
were
4 of 12 on third down.
4 of 12. So I split the difference there. I was almost right, close. And then I was almost wrong. But that stat alone sort of manifests itself into the other aspects of the game that I think people are down on after the fact, like your Ben Volans, like your whoever. I think it's just Ben Volan, enemy of the state. Thank you, Ben, for the burden of Ben Volan in that game. But against the Titans and the Bills specifically, the Titans, I guess I'm a bit more scared of because I think Tannehill's better under pressure, and I don't think they feel like they have to hand the ball off 900 times to Derrick Henry, even if there are certain situations where maybe it's not as efficient to do so. But against the Bills specifically, like, Josh Allen has been under quite a bit of pressure the last couple weeks. It shouldn't be that surprising that Jacksonville was able to do what they did to him because their O-line has been a bit shaky last month. I know they've had some injuries. They've done some shuffling there as well. The thing about Jacksonville, Tyler, and you would know this better than anyone, they have spent a million first and second round picks on that D-line. So it's not surprising that against a shoddy O-line, they can get pressure on somebody. But if they can do it, the Patriots can do it. And if they can do it against Josh Allen, I can see Josh Allen throwing a couple bonehead interceptions. Whereas Mac Jones, under pressure, even if it's they have faced pass rushers as good as the Bills will be. The Bills are probably number one. Right behind them is the Browns. Right behind the Browns was the Panthers. The Titans are probably up there with the Browns and Bills as well. And they've had success doing that. But the question is, if they go in there and they convert 4 of 12 third downs against the Bills, then and the defense isn't able to stop them as well as they were the Atlanta Falcons, I don't see the Patriots winning either of those games.
That 4 of 12 stat is interesting because I think it was 538. They had a few analysts talking about, hey, is what the Patriots are, they what they're doing, and this was before the Titans, the Falcons, what I should say, on Thursday, so it was a Wednesday article, they were saying is their run a little fluky. They're converting at way too high of a third down rate. They're converting at like 60-70% in their last 4 or 5 games. It's not a sustainable rate to do it at Chime, so they were trying to make the case that this is not going to last. It didn't last on Thursday, but it's not something to be concerned about long term.
Well, yeah, I mean, you noticed it in the beginning of the season with the Los Angeles Chargers. They were doing the exact same thing. Justin Herbert was converting he was Superman on third down. He was remarkable, and they were getting themselves in third and long constantly. And you know, eventually that just is going to come back to bite you in the ass. It did against Baltimore, and it has for the Chargers ever since. They're still trying to figure it out. And the issue is you don't want to have to play on third down that much. I think the most interesting thing, though, heading into like this week is to kind of see how Buffalo plays against Indianapolis, a legitimate team with a legitimate defense. This isn't Miami. This isn't the Jets. This is a legitimate playoff contending team now that Buffalo has to face. So it'll be curious to see, I'll be curious to see how Josh Allen plays because he's been very up and down this year, right? Like against Jacksonville, 264, no touchdowns, 2 picks. But then, you know, against the Jets, he lights it up, completes 75% of his passes for 366 and 2 touchdowns. So it's this weird thing where I can't tell if the Bills, I think the Bills are good. My eyes tell me the Bills are good, but the numbers don't necessarily suggest that the Bills are great. They haven't beaten a lot of good teams. They beat Kansas City, but outside of that, they beat Pitt, or they lost in week one to Pittsburgh. They beat Miami, Washington, Houston. They lost to Tennessee and then beat Miami, lost to Jacksonville, beat the Jets.
So one good win and two bad losses.
Yeah. And so my eyes tell me that the Bills are good, and I think their defense is one of the best defenses in football right now. But I can't get over this feeling that it feels very Patriots 2019-esque. They start 8-0, but they're not really an 8-0 team.
617-779-7937. I'd be curious to hear what Patriots fans say, because I threw this question out on the Maloney Fourier Twitter of, like, which AFC team do you fear the most as a Patriots fan going forward? That left it blank. And almost all the responses were Titans, Bills, or Chiefs. Nobody said the Baltimore Ravens at all. And I think the Chiefs are probably third out of the most mentions, with the Titans and Bills being 1-2 in a pretty much a close race and a tie. How would you guys answer that question? Because I would say the Chiefs. I think that offense is kind of going to get clicking. I'm a believer that talent will triumph over everything. So they look so bad early on. Patrick Mahomes had that turnover happy, you know, stretch in September and October, but I don't think that's going to happen. So I would answer that question by saying the Chiefs. What would you say, John?
I would probably, gun to my head, I probably also say the Chiefs, but we have seen the success Mike Vrabel has had against Bill Belichick in the past. I think push comes to shove. Even if the Patriots lose to the Bills twice in the regular season, I think they meet in a playoff game. I think Belichick has Josh Allen, Sean McDermott's number in that sort of a setting. The reason why I say the Chiefs, though, is because, like, you remember last season, by like mid-November around this time of year, people just, like, weren't talking about the Chiefs for some reason. Like, they were just somehow the Chiefs were flying coasting under the radar. And it was bizarre, because
never happened.
You know, we're
never.
Not, we don't necessarily, like, set, we're not setting the dialogue for the national media or the city. That's Curtis, obviously. But, like, so when we're watching the four-letter network and NFL network and whatever other sports ball network not talking about the Chiefs for, like, a month, we're sitting here losing our minds, because it's like, all right, these people are the ones, like, sort of setting the dialogue and, like, what the dialogue of sports media is going to be. And when the Chiefs aren't on that, which this year, I'd say right now, it's kind of the same thing, except last year the Chiefs didn't endure 2 months of getting crapped on by the media. So that, like, that's what they're coming off of now. And now they're going to transition into this part of the year where, like, they are winning their division. They're in the driver's seat. Like, their division is probably, like, they might finish with 10 or 11 wins, and the rest of the division finishes with, like, 8 or 9. And it's not like they're that far ahead of the rest of those teams, whether it be Denver, L.A., or the Raiders. But, like, that's why, because I don't like the Chiefs going into the playoffs under the radar like they did last season. Yeah. Like, that's not
you're
a matchup you want
to
face. And their O-line was the issue last year. We watched Patrick Mahomes run for his life in the Super Bowl after they lost both their starting tackles in the AFC Championship game. Their O-line is pretty much fixed.
I would push back on that a little bit. I think the tackles have not been great, but I think Creed Humphrey is otherworldly good. But I think for me, to answer your
first
question.
First name Creed?
Creed Humphrey, yes.
Creed Humphrey. What a name.
He's a rookie center, and he is one of the best rookie centers I've ever seen.
Like, he would have been a first-round pick, but I believe he has sickle cell anemia, I want to say. And he had a medical issue where he fell, basically. And the Chiefs like really, really did their due diligence on it, and they ended up picking him in like the second or third round,
yep.
And they knocked it out of the park, because he's literally fine.
Yeah.
He's good.
So to answer your question, Tyler, I think in a normal situation right now, I would tell Patriots fans to be scared of the Baltimore Ravens. I understand Bill Belichick has had some success against Lamar Jackson, but it's a John Harbaugh thing. Harbaugh seems to be able to at least give Belichick some difficulty, right? Over the history of time, whether it's playoff games or regular season games, the Ravens have, even against Tom Brady, have caused some problems. The Patriots haven't dominated the Ravens like they've dominated someone like the Steelers over the years. And so I want to say that, but I feel like the Ravens are just blown up with injuries at this point that it's hard. So I actually give you a team that's currently not even necessarily a playoff team, but is getting into the playoff race. That's the Indianapolis Colts. I think a team built the way they are built.
I haven't heard that one.
Right? I think a team built the way they are built should scare the Patriots. In a normal situation, like I said, you should be scared of the Ravens. You should be scared of the Titans. Titans don't have Derrick Henry, so I'm not scared of them as much. And the Ravens are just mired with injuries. So I look at this Colts team, and the way Jonathan Taylor's playing is he's playing tremendous football right now. This team is kind of clicking. Carson Wentz isn't turning the football over. Everything we thought he would do, and he would suck, and I am very much out on Carson Wentz as a starting quarterback in the NFL, but he's playing well. Like, he's throwing touchdown passes. He's doing this. He's doing the classic Joe Flacco thing where it's Pittman runs 50 yards. I'm going to throw it a little short. We draw the flag or he makes the catch. And it works. He has like a ridiculously high success rate with doing that. And it's whatever the Colts are doing on offense is working, especially the way. And I think the one vulnerability in this Patriots team is you might be able to run on them. And so I think a team like the Colts that has a great offensive line and can just give the rock to Jonathan Taylor and let him go, could be an issue because their defense isn't bad either. And so I think if they get in the playoff race here in the second half, you might want to just keep your wits about you when it comes to the Indianapolis Colts.
And that's a frustrating team, I feel like, to play on a Sunday because they have three running backs they could throw at you who are all damn good. Like, their running back situation is so good, they don't play Marlon Mack. Like, yeah. He's just unplayable. I know he has some injury history, some injury issues, but, like, Nyheim Hines is damn good, and he's their second running back. And then Jonathan Taylor's a stud. But their offensive line, I think the Patriots could handle because the Jacksonville Jaguars did the same thing. I watched them. Quentin Nelson got destroyed by Taven Bryan. Taven Bryan stinks. And Quentin Nelson's supposed to be this god of an offensive line.
But he's one of those guys, like I mentioned earlier, he was a first-round pick, and he's surrounded by other first-round picks. So yes. It sort of takes the pressure off of him, and maybe he can actually just do what he was drafted to do. It's like the 49ers drafted all those guys from like 2015 or 16 through 19, and then finally that 19 season it came together, and you had a guy like
DeForest Buckner,
Solomon Thomas sucked, and then when he was surrounded by all of those guys, he was nasty.
Yeah, because that line was DeForest Buckner, Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead. These guys
ridiculous.
Were absolutely tearing it up.
So John went with the Chiefs. I went with the Chiefs. Sham, you chose the Ravens.
Colts. I'm gonna go with the Colts.
With the Colts.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Colts are the team that Chris Sham fears the most. Says a Patriots fan.
Team you have to face actually still in the regular season.
Should fear the most. So let's go to Bob
Urban
in New
Meyer
Hampshire.
Off a bender.
Good morning, Bob. What is the team that you fear the most as a Patriots fan?
Hi, Bob.
Hi. Good morning, guys. Great show. The Buffalo Bills, only because they're in our division, so that's gonna control who gets that first round bye. I don't fear the Chiefs anymore. I think they'll beat the Titans. I really do. But my question is to you guys: if the Bills lose tomorrow to the Colts, does that mean the Pats catapult into first place? And I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Now, I wouldn't know off the top of head because there's the tiebreakers. Usually your head-to-head is the number one tiebreaker, and they
haven't
played yet.
Patriots will have more wins, though, because they played more games, I believe.
Okay, that makes sense then. But if they had the even amount of wins and they haven't played yet, I don't know what that second tiebreaker
would be. Yeah, because right now Buffalo is 6-3, New England is 7-4. So if they lose this weekend to the Colts, technically the Patriots will be a half game up on the Bills because they'll be 7-4, Buffalo will be 6-4.
It's just because the Patriots haven't had their bye week.
Yep, exactly. So that's all.
When week 14 comes, that crap will be evened out, and it will be less hard to wrap our heads around all the different numbers and different columns being slightly off and everything, and then the extra game's going to screw with everything.
This hour of the WEI Producer Show is brought to you by McFarlane Energy, now hiring HVAC and oil burner techs as well as CDL drivers. McFarlaneEnergy.com. Did you guys see this? So the Patriots right now, I believe before the Thursday night win, they were 23-1 at most sports books to win the Super Bowl. I think that's down to like 16-1. You can get some places, I think 17-18-1. So shop for that best line, which of course you can't do here in Massachusetts, which
nope, but New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Connecticut, you can. Right now on DraftKings, if you're in New Hampshire, Patriots 18-1 to win the Super Bowl.
It sucks that you can't place it in this state. We are such a stupid state. It's unbelievable.
Like, oh, did you see how much was bet in the state of New Hampshire in the month of September? Thank
let
you.
Me guess.
Courtesy of, or was it month of October? Thank you.
Close
courtesy
to nine digits, I'm going to guess. Close. Ballpark.
Pretty close. I think it was upwards of $98 million.
There we go.
And, Mike Mutnansky.
Half of it was Sean.
Speaking of this.
the other half was Mutt.
So Mattress Mack is the owner of a furniture store in Houston, a longtime sports bettor, obviously usually bets on the Houston Astros to win the title. He bet $2 million in the Patriots. At 23-1, he wins $46 million if the Patriots win the Super Bowl. That is a damn ballsy bet. I don't think I would do that. Even if I had $100 million, I don't think I would put $2 million in the Patriots.
No, I probably wouldn't.
I think the same
for
a bet.
I don't think getting there is as big of a question as it is winning it because of just the nature of the AFC. But like once you get there, and anything can happen.
That's something I want to get to next because I feel like the hype, not just for Mac Jones, but for this team, has gone from, oh, well, they can sneak in and be a wild card team to they're going all the way. And that's getting out of hand. I want to address that next here on the WEI Producer Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're back to the WEEI Producer Show.
The Patriots is going to the Super Bowl.
I don't disagree with J.C. Jackson at all about this defense being great.
The viability of this team as a Super Bowl contender and being able to compete against the best is out there.
I guarantee they're going to go to Super Bowl. The Patriots are going to play Tampa Bay. You can tell me right now what offense is better than their defense.
And this is why I think Mac has a chance to be a top 10 quarterback in his league for a long time to come. Thanks, guys.
A little compilation of the WEI 93.7 callers, and of course, any listener to the sports
Keefe,
radio
Gresham
network.
Keefe callers.
All Gresham Keefe callers.
That was, yeah, no.
Yeah, we heard House in there who said, they're going to the Super Bowl. Whose offense is better than the Patriots' defense? Well, I'd say, I don't even know how I would answer that question off the top of my head.
Better is a hard line to draw, but I'd say
also depends on the day.
There might be some teams that maybe score like a touchdown or two and some field goals and put up 20 points against them. But
off the top here, you guys aren't agreeing that they're going to the Super Bowl or winning it, are they?
No.
I'm not agreeing. I think I wouldn't be shocked if they went to the Super Bowl at all. Like, it would not. I would not be surprised at all. They're still one of the best. Like, the thing that has stuck with them is that those statistics that sort of, Nick, what did you tell me earlier? They are sixth in turnover differential
In turnover differential, plus six.
Sixth and rising, I would say, because they were not
rising.
They were not sixth to begin the
season.
They
lead the league in interceptions.
It's like 18. It's like the third down percentage. They were, red zone percentage. They were like last, second to last, or third for the whole year, and now they're like middle of the pack. Like, they're getting better at these things as the season goes along. It wouldn't even necessarily be stealing a win for them to, like, win a couple games in the playoffs. And, like, I just wouldn't be shocked. And if they go to the Super Bowl, by the way, I don't think there's a coach in the NFC who's a better coach than Bill Belichick.
Yes.
Yeah, you're never going to lose the coaching matchup right. In any game. It doesn't matter. You have Bill Belichick.
I mean, like, maybe, like, the closest thing you have is, like, Sean Payton, but, like, the Saints aren't going to go to the Super Bowl with Trevor Siemian.
It's funny how, like, early in the season we talked about this team is not well coached. Like, it's a poorly coached team.
The beginning of the season.
That felt like an easy, like, lazy narrative.
It's what happened every year when Tom Brady was the quarterback. They always started slow, but sometimes they stole those games because Tom Brady was their quarterback.
This year they have a rookie. This team's not good anymore. Shockingly enough, they win the Super Bowl.
Crying on the set.
Patriots teams tend to do that. I don't think this team makes a Super Bowl. I don't think they have a shot. I don't think their offense is good enough, period. Like, you can rant and rave about Mac Jones being good all you want, but honestly, when it comes down to it, I have not seen him single-handedly win you a game yet. Like, a game that you, like, the defense isn't playing great. They're playing fine, like, enough to keep you in it. And then Mac Jones has to go and win, you know, 34-31. Like, I haven't seen that yet. And until I see that, I can't tell you that the Patriots are going to make the Super Bowl. Can't do it. Because Gresh keeps telling me all these things about how, oh, I know what Lamar Jackson is in the playoffs. I know what Josh Allen will do in the playoffs. Like, how do you know what Mac Jones will do in the playoffs?
Right.
Like, you don't. You have no idea what will happen. And has the kid been in some big spots in college? Sure has. But a lot of these guys have been in big spots in college. You cannot convince me this team is a Super Bowl team. I have come around on the fact this team is absolutely a playoff team. 100% I believe that. They could even win a playoff game on the road. I do not think they are Super Bowl.
This is a team that can make some noise in the playoffs, but it is not a Super Bowl contender. Let's please, like, hard stop that way. That's not happening.
Well,
They're not a contender.
The thing I'll give you, Shime, is like, yes, we have not seen Mac have 90 seconds on the clock down by four, have to drive and get a touchdown. I want to see that. And to be fair, he might not. They could win the Super Bowl and he might never be in that situation this year. Like, the offensive line is good enough and trending up. The defense is good enough and trending up that just might not be the case. But I see him, like, him scoring, them putting up 45 points against the Cleveland Browns. Maybe the Patriots defense didn't give up 44 points, but, like, you still put up 45 points. And I still think that's very significant heading into the playoffs.
Yeah,
that
but that
be
wasn't
ignored.
Him being that wasn't like an offensive-driven 45 points. That defense was dominating. There was a pick six. There was another interception. Like they were getting great field position.
But still, like that's like, still like not, 30 points against a top three defense in the league is not insignificant.
No. I'm not saying it's insignificant, but I'm just saying that like that's not my thing. Is you haven't won a shootout yet. The one shootout you were in, you lost. To the Dallas Cowboys.
Right, but I think that's
my thing. Like, I think that has to come into play because your defense is not going to play amazing every single week. It's the NFL. Things happen. You're going to have bad weeks. And if that comes in the playoffs, we have not seen this offense be able to win a shootout.
But just because it wasn't a shootout, like, doesn't... Like, it was still... If Cleveland put up 25 points, 30 points, and that's a shootout, you still won the game. It's just that... They like he's not
but it
playing
wasn't
defense.
A shootout. There was no pressure. You were up 20-0 before, or 20-7.
I mean,
before
but
you
there,
even
like,
knew it.
I mean, there wasn't like pressure from the outside, like all the pressure of having to put up a point. But there was physically like pressure on him a lot in the game, and he has played well under pressure. So that's why I'm not. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't
I'm not talking about sack pressure. I'm talking about the fact that Patrick Mahomes
that
is
worse?
On the other side of the field, and you know he's going to come and score a touchdown. So I need to go score.
And
that's the difference.
And Mahomes is so damn good, and that offense is so damn good that they're going to keep that Patriots offense to be limited in their opportunities. So if the Patriots defense gives up 20 or 30 or even 35 points to create a shootout situation, the Patriots offense is not suited to respond that way.
Statistically,
they can't score quickly.
Statistically, this season, Mac Jones is the exact same and actually technically slightly worse than Teddy Bridgewater. Would you have the confidence that Teddy Bridgewater is going to go out there and do anything like that?
Hell no.
Well, so I do because he and Nick said something in my ear. So I maybe I missed half your sentence there. But what I think you said, can you just repeat what you said? So I make
said
sure I'm
statistically
responding to the right thing.
This season, Mac Jones is slightly worse than Teddy Bridgewater. Statistically, just if you go by simple box, I know you hate this, John. You go by simple
resume
box.
A,
do not invoke box here. You know
no,
it's stupid,
going,
and you're invoking
I'm going,
it. You know
I'm,
it's dumb.
I'm doing exactly what all the people do. You look at the box score.
You're smarter than the people.
Still
I know you're
shy.
I know you are a better football analyst than those people. Don't bring up box score. You're so much better than that.
And I'm telling
An
you.
An angel loses its wings here on the producer's show because Sean brings up box score.
You don't believe me that he's basically Andy Dalton, so I'm going to give you the exact comp from his statistics. He is Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh,
that's
God.
What he is. And
but
actually,
you know
he
the
throws
difference
more picks than Teddy Bridgewater.
Is they get into third and long, and Mac converts it almost every time. When he has to throw the ball deep, it's aside from one boneheaded throw to A.J. Terrell, in which Jonnu Smith maybe could have done a little better at trying to break
zero
up that pass.
Bite.
Like Sam, who's a comp? Like Sammy Sleeves, Kirk Cousins, like these guys who are traditionally called like the check down kings. And then when they have to start throwing deep because they're losing or it's third and long, they can't do it. Mac can do that. As the season has ramped up, when he has been asked to throw the ball deep, he has been able to do it. That's the difference right there. And that's why I don't have an issue. I haven't seen it yet. You're right, Chime. I have not seen it. And until I see it, I can't wrap my head around it the way I would like to. But I believe he could go down the field and throwing some deeper passes on with 90 seconds to score 4 points against the Cleveland Browns or the Tennessee Titans or, dare I say, the Buffalo Bills.
If you need to go 75 yards in under 2 minutes to get a touchdown, you can't win.
They've scored in like 5 straight 2 minute situations this year.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Field goals. Good for you.
Have any of those been with the game on the line?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't get how you can dock Mac, though, for the team blowing out
teams.
How
about
teams?
That pass to Kendrick Bourne
I'm
against
not,
Dallas, huh?
How, what do you mean I can't dock Mac for the team blowing out teams? Of course I can. He hasn't been in any pressure situations. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's worse because he hasn't. I'm just saying he hasn't been there. And I'm telling you from what I've seen before that, prior to all this, that I didn't think he was very good. So nothing that he's done has changed my opinion of where I stand.
So
nothing.
It's almost like Shime's in the wand of like Lou Maloney's thinking that because he hasn't gone out and quote unquote won you a game, he can't do it. I'm inclined to believe that because he hasn't done it yet, it's
inevitable.
It's not impossible, but it is inevitable. It's going to happen sometime, probably on the schedule. You're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. That could be a trap game. You're sleeping through that game, and he comes back, and you beat them 27-20. Who knows? I don't think it's impossible. I'm not. He is not Teddy Bridgewater. Please, the stats are very close to it, but they are very similar.
Box score stats suck until they fit Shime's narrative. Then all of a sudden we're using box score stats.
No, they are literally basically identical. I've been comparing
to Andy Dalton. You know box score stats are stupid. You know they don't tell the whole story.
Regardless of the box score stats, they're still very similar, John.
The box score stats are.
No, I'm talking about the quarterbacks. The way they play the game, they are almost identical.
I don't think so.
But you would say the ceiling for Mac is much higher than Teddy Bridgewater.
No, I've been saying that all along.
I love those Teddy converting third and long highlights
he's
this year, huh, Nick?
Give Mac, Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, and Jerry Judy and see what he does.
I mean, Teddy Bridgewater's been doing the same thing his whole career.
He would eat.
It's 7-7.
Who did he throw to in Minnesota? Who did he throw to in Carolina?
You're making my point. He didn't.
Oh, he's Wiggy. He's midday show Wiggy.
What are you talking about? Like, you guys,
that's proven
who
wrong
did he throw
and says,
to?
You're,
who did he
says
throw
you're
to?
Making my point. You're
he
making
didn't
my
throw
point.
To anybody. And he did the exact same stuff.
And now he has receivers and he has like the
and
same.
And he's doing the exact same thing.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's
what I'm talking
about.
That's
the point, Sean.
Mac Jones is the same thing.
That is what Nick.
That's what I'm saying.
Nick LePan is
one point for the producer, Nick LePan, in the left corner.
And zero for Shime. So what
you guys are unbelievable.
As judged listen, by the two people arguing against him.
You know what you do when you assume you make an ass out of you and me.
So what LePan is arguing, and it's the correct argument, is that no matter what weapons Teddy Bridgewater has around him, he's going to be an average to below average check down king.
And Teddy Bridgewater is in the best offense he has ever been in, and he is still average.
That's fine.
It's not fine. That's unacceptable.
That's what Mac Jones is going to be. So in 4 years, you're going to be saying, this is unacceptable. Yes. Tell yourself
this now. He was wrong about him being good. He's going to be wrong about offensive rookie of the year. It's 4 years down the line.
I haven't
now
been wrong about him
post.
Being good because he still has not been great yet.
I'm convinced that Mac Jones is going to the Pro Bowl.
You are out of your mind.
No, he's not going to be a top.
I saw that take, Tyler. Pro Bowl is not a take. Pro Bowl,
Pro Bowl is also player voted.
Mitch Trubisky.
He seems to be very liked by his teammates. I'll give him that.
Half the quarterbacks back out of opt out of the Pro Bowl. And
Mitch
then the
Trubisky
other half of the
was your Pro Bowl MVP like 2 years ago.
You have like
ago.
8 Pro Bowl quarterbacks per conference in the NFL because nobody wants to
everyone
go to
backs
it. So they
out.
Have to keep making it's all pro. And all pro, unfortunately, is going to go to the guys who throw sidearm with blindfolds on instead. Even though, like, you know, you have all those years where somebody else wins MVP and then Brady beats them in the Super Bowl. Like, that's going to be Mac Jones's career. He's never going to win any of those accolades unless he progresses to like Tom Brady did after, whatever, 6 years and he gets to the point. Because the game's already moving slow for him right now and it's only going to go slower. So it wouldn't shock me if he progressed to a level where he was throwing 30-plus touchdowns and 4,500 yards a season and maybe they don't have to rely on the run game as much as they did this season. But it's the all-pro that counts, and he's never going to get all-pro. He's never really going to get MVP. But you know what? The big games. The big games. Who's more likely to win?
You start Pro Bowl, then you progress next year to all-pro.
The guy who doesn't turn
the
ball over, or the guy who blindfolds himself and hobbles around on one leg throwing behind-the-back passes? Probably the guy who doesn't turn the ball over.
That is John Anderson. We have Chris Schein, who believes that Mac Jones is a bum.
All right,
and we have Bryson Marlboro on line one to confront Chris Schein about his hatred for the rookie quarterback here in New England.
Go
Good
off,
morning,
Bryce.
Bryce.
Go off, Bryce. Burn him.
Hey, what's up, Wiggy? I don't understand how a historically good quarterback, historically, is still trash.
How is he historically good?
Rookie,
he's played 10 games or 11 games.
As a rookie.
And historically, as a rookie, he's outplayed any rookie.
No, he's not. He has not outplayed Justin Herbert as a rookie. He's not outplayed Dak Prescott as a rookie. He hasn't even outplayed Baker Mayfield as a rookie yet.
He shares records with
because
Dak
he completes
Prescott
80%
right
of his passes. Good for you. Good for you. Go ahead and complete 80% of your passes like Sam Bradford. And look what happened to Sam Bradford.
Caller,
no,
please make a good point. Go ahead.
I just don't understand how literally he's setting records at every point, and the most important statistic is wins.
The
and
only record he's setting is completion percentage.
Thank you, Bryce.
Which even John knows completion percentage can sometimes be a very sham statistic.
Well, what about the stat he just brought up, quarterback wins?
Good for you. You have 7 wins because you have Bill Belichick as your head coach.
I would say, though, to back up Bryce and John here as well, my guy, the 80% completion percentage, you're like poo-pooing that. Like it's
not even 80, it's 70. But regardless of that, back,
he's top
good.
5 in the league.
Good for you.
He's leading rookies
well, the
by
last
far.
2 weeks, I think it's like 84 or something. Look, completion percentage is moot if you're unable to throw the ball down the field, which I don't even need to pull up a stat to tell you Mac can. Maybe he couldn't the first 2 weeks of the season.
He's not very good at it.
Yes, he is.
Sure, he can throw the ball down the field, but
yes,
he's not
he
very
is.
Good. No, he is not.
Yes,
he is
he
not
is.
Efficient down the field at all, John.
Yes, he is.
Prior to that,
I don't even know if that's true, but I would say
it
that's
is.
His...
Prior to that Cleveland game, he had like a 34 passer rating throwing 20
plus
yards down the field.
And then he did it against a top 3 defense in the league.
And he did it in one game. Good for him.
Against a top three defense in the league.
When your defense is dominating and you hit them, all the momentum was
the
in your
favor. The defense isn't on the field when Mac Jones is on offense, though.
John, momentum is a thing.
No, it's not.
Yes. Oh, my.
Absolutely not.
I have Mac Jones' rookie numbers compared to Dak Prescott, and they are almost identical.
Yeah, Dak's rookie year. Mac is about to have an identical rookie year.
How many interceptions did Dak throw in a full season, by the way?
Dak only did have 4.
Thank you.
But it's like Dak Prescott and Russell
Wilson. We only played
11
games. He already has 8.
Dak Prescott his defense already has 8 in 11 games. We were saying defense that if Mac had won a game, we'd be happy.
So we have John Anderson, Chris Scheim. I'm Tyler Devitt. The producer show is produced, as always, by Nickel Pan. One more question for Chris / Wiggy here.
All right, hold on. Before we do this, this was my take. Wiggy jumped on my boat. So stop calling me Wiggy. You can start calling Wiggy Scheim. I've had this take since January. So stop it with that crap. Just because Sean, he has a bigger platform than I do,
this does not mean
I am Wiggy.
This is the burden of the producer.
Yeah, this fair.
Who wrote after a week after the draft that Mac Jones would win Offensive Rookie of the Year, and who is never going to get credit for that from the in place he works?
That was a great Field Yates stick. I like that one by Field.
Hey, what's up, Wiggy?
And who is screaming that Mac Jones would not be the number 3 overall pick?
Nickel Pan, please save that rant and save it into the GHS Daily Sound folder, because that will be played on the Monday morning Greg Hill
Show.
What
we need to start doing on the producer show is we should just start re-racking all the takes we had that our hosts stole from us because they couldn't come up with one good enough themselves.
Wiggy's just like Mac Jones. He's a passenger on the Scheim anti-Mac Jones train.
Is anyone stealing my Jason Tatum is Carmelo Anthony 2.0 take? That's going
to
be...
Gary Tengway did, and then he got to go on Philly radio because of it.
Did he really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Angelo Cataldi had Tengway on his morning show this week. Hold on. Can we go to break and come back and play the sound? Because I have this sound of Tengway on this morning show. It was because he stooged your Simmons take.
Wow. Right? I'm appalled. I'm shocked. I thought Gary Tengway was a person of high integrity and character. And I have to address this coming up next. I have nothing to say, and I'm going to try and compose myself and come up with some thoughts here in the final segment of the producer show next. Wow.
Now back to more of the guys. The WEEI producer show.
That's right. This is the WEI producer show. Chris Scheim, John Anderson, Tyler Devitt. And on the text, I'll hit a couple of texts before I address the atrocity that is a take snake of Gary Tengway. From the 617, when is the station going to give you guys more than an hour a week? Jealousy is a terrible thing. So keep it up, you guys. You're talented as hell.
Making eye contact with Chris Curtis through the window right now. I hope he hears that.
Well, he's no longer management, so we'll have to stare down Ken when he comes in for the crossover and accost him about that.
Boss man, Ken.
As a Patriots fan, Baltimore always makes me nervous for some reason. I would tend to agree. Don't out the Ravens.
They're not afraid to just come in and punch you in the mouth, and that's the thing that should scare you.
Let's go here. You haven't changed your mind because you're just a stubborn idiot. I would believe that would be towards you, Scheim.
I believe that's directed right at me, and okay.
And it was directed right off of you as well.
Yeah, what is
one ear and out the
other.
I am
the Teflon Don. I learned it from Glenn Ordway.
What is the debate this morning? The Patriots just beat a team by 25 points, shut them out, had an all-around game, and you're debating whether a rookie is playing like a guy who's
been in the league for 3 to 4 years.
Yep. The offense wasn't great in that Atlanta game. Gloves. The defense was otherworldly. Offense wasn't great.
A couple more here. Scheim.
Bloom.
Good spelling.
Yes. Heim/Scheim is a clown. Last 4 games, Mac is 4th in big time throws and 5th in yards per attempt. I think big time throws is a PFF stat.
Do you know who's number 4 all season on big time throws, Tyler?
That would be Teddy Bridgewater.
No, your guy, Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, I don't like that stat at all. That's a bad stat then.
Because they're in
throw that stat out the window.
So
I love Trevor.
They're also
first
and third and 30s.
So you can take that any way you want. It's all around, it's bad.
A couple more here. Sorry, Scheim or Scheim. You're not on the radio every day. Wiggy is. You're a copy of Wiggy.
Ooh.
I don't think you're a copy of Wiggy.
Like I said, we have the audio of me saying Mac Jones is not a top 10 pick. And that was in January and February. Way before the Patriots even drafted him. So Wiggy didn't start yelling at Mac Jones until he was drafted here.
Oh, you're almost like Curtis and Ken on another show. Is it Scheim or Sunshine? I don't understand that.
I'll take Sunshine. That's fine. Thank you.
And last but not least, Dak and Mac are similar in their first year. You were wrong. You were, Y-O-U, apostrophe R-E, were wrong. You are, were wrong.
Nice.
Just like Wiggy is never wrong either.
I've been wrong before. I've admitted I was wrong. I admitted I was wrong about this Patriots team not being a playoff team. So there, I am the bigger
man.
Yeah,
you can't use the one time you admitted you were wrong as a shield for not admitting all this other crap that you're still...
I've admitted I was wrong about plenty of things. This I'm not wrong about.
So John brought to my attention last segment that there's a take snake in the building named Gary Tangway. I don't know what this audio is. I'm prepared to be let down and disappointed.
He doesn't necessarily say it in the audio, but the reason he's going on this morning show is because of a Celtics take that he wrote over the summer, which was basically the same thing you had written like a month before that.
Sure. So let's hear this audio about a take that he's apparently stealing from me that got him airtime on a drive time morning show in Philly.
Here's the problem I got with Tagwaya.
What?
He is a number one. Now he's a novelist.
Oh,
he's a screenwriter. Right? He's an actor who's in a new Whitney Houston movie. He's got a movie coming out with Leonardo DiCaprio
next month on Netflix.
And I don't even know how much he's up to date on sports, because he made his living as a sports guy, but now he's got all this. So before I bring him on, ladies and gentlemen, spokesman for all of Boston sports, Mr. Gary Tangray. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Ed. Hey, everybody. How you doing?
So Gary is the spokesperson for Boston sports going
on. They found his take about Simmons, and they found his take about
Bill having 15 bad drafts.
Comparing Tatum to Carmelo, which I think was just a Tyler take, right?
I had that take in May, and I got called a racist for it. So like for Gary Tangway to get...
I said I liked Matt Ryan when Cam Newton was the Patriots quarterback, and I got called
iconic.
A racist. So. Yeah.
Yeah, Gary's like bathing in all the attention he's getting from Angelo Cataldi in Philly and Leonardo DiCaprio's new movie and stuff. It's like I got all the blowback, but no glory on that one. Oh well. That is the WEI producer show. Our 1 hour has been filled because the management wants us to only stay in this time slot. We would love to be on for 4 hours a day. I would love to be on Black Friday next week, but that's not really an option or any other time. So, management, if you're listening, give us 4 hours. We would love it. The audience has been asking
for it. Text line demands.
I don't know what's so hard about it. We have three willing hosts here.
And on top of that, I'm going to win you some money today. Go bet on the Edmonton Oilers. You're welcome.
I don't make enough to go do anything in normal life, so I guess I'll just sit here and talk about sports.
Yeah, John will be panhandling, asking for your loose change outside the street here on Leo Birmingham Parkway. For John Anderson, for Chris Scheim, I'm Tyler Devitt. Also for the producer of the producer show, as always, Nick LePan, the Ken and Curtis show follows us
King
next.
Of Kings.
Right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.